Lisa, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you out in Avon?
So far, so good. Staying dry, and that's the most important thing right now. Hopefully,
especially
the rain,
for the sports you're getting ready to watch. So,
exactly, yeah. The rain is no good in these parts. That prevents us from doing a lot of cool things here tonight. So, hopefully, it stays away. I want to begin with something that you wrote about, I think, a day or two after we had you on last week, and that would be the developments with the Midway Mall. What do we know about the new owner, and what do they have planned?
You're right. I was chasing this down Tuesday when I was here. The mystery buyer of Midway Mall was revealed through real estate documents filed with the Lorain County Auditor's website last week. It's the Namdar Realty Group. It's a real estate firm that came in at the tail end of the auction, and they offer the biggest and final bid to kind of walk away with the mall and the surrounding properties. And they're from Great Neck, New York, and they purchased the property through an online auction on July 12th. And the deed just transferred a week ago, so that's the reason why we figured it out through these public records. And the final price was about $4.5 million.
Have we heard anything about what they plan to do or what they may want to do with it?
That's still a bit unknown. The Namdar Realty Group has not responded to several requests for interviews. But I spoke with Mayor Holly Brenda, who said that she spoke with representatives of the group, and they said they see Midway Mall as having some great potential as a shopping facility, and they believe they can fill some of the outlying restaurants that are now closed and fill that space up to kind of make the area a little bit more attractive, and then begin working on the interior lease opportunities in the mall. So far they've not decided if they want to adopt the highest and best use study the city commissioned back in 2016. That study was done at the request of Mayor Brenda because she kind of wanted to develop a solid plan for the area that she can use to help entice developers looking to invest in the property.
And this organization that now has bought the mall, they own some other properties around this area, correct?
They do. They own the Sheffield Center, and they also owned Severance Town Center out in Cleveland Heights. So they're not new to Ohio. They've got some legs here.
That's got to be a good sign. That way it's not just like a shot in the dark or something on what they could possibly do in here. They understand the area and what they think could possibly go in here.
I think so. And they're kind of working and coming up with some kind of plan for Severance Town Center. Of course, that plan, which I read about in other media reports, are about 10, 20 years out. It just takes a long time when you're talking about this kind of development for retail.
And, of course, it's in a prime location. No question about that. If you had their position on this, what would you like to see done with that particular area? It seems like everybody's got a different opinion, a different idea as to what they would like to do with the Midway Mall. What would you do with it?
I just want to see productivity at the mall. You know, from that highest best use study, we learned that there's about $70 billion of revenue that's at the mall, but about $200-300 million leave the area because people are shopping at, you know, Great Northern Mall and South Park Mall and Crocker Park. So I want to see some productivity to bring that money back to Lorain County. I think the county needs it. And with one of the lowest sales taxes in the region, people can actually save a little bit of money of shopping in Lorain County, but you got to give them something to shop for. You got to give them a good mix of retail stores and restaurants and entertainments to kind of make coming to the area kind of a destination for them. So I would like to see, you know, that happen.
We're talking with Lisa Roberson of the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram. It's brought to you by 9 Round Kickbox Fitness in Avon. Want to transition into something else that you wrote last week. Really kind of a feel-good story a week ago about money being donated to the Save Our Children's Elyria Teens Program. What are the details on this? Who exactly gave them some money to kind of keep that program going?
That would be the 100 women who care about Lorain County, 100 guys who care about Lorain County. And before I start, I can tell you, I could talk at length about Save Our Children, Elyria Teens Achieving Success. The program's the brainchild of Stacy Starr, who I know very well. I've written numerous stories about her over the years. She's just one of those people who have a passion for helping kids. And if you have one of those at risk or on the bubble or hard to reach kids, she's the person who can figure out a way to kind of crack through that shell. And so she's to be a teacher in Elyria schools. That's the reason why we met each other. I wrote a story about her when she ran a program kind of encouraging teenage boys to wear ties to school to kind of dress for success. And she was also named the top teacher by Kelly and Michael in 2014. So a lot of people know who she is and they know her passion for schools. And so when she started this program, everyone thought it would be a great success, and it has been a great success. Elyria Teens Achieving Success, and it's kind of run through Save Our Children. And they were receiving state funding from the Ohio Department of Education. But then when these grants renewals came out earlier this year, we learned that they were not going to be receiving funding. So they stepped up and started doing some local funding. And that's where these two groups, 100 Women Who Care About Lorain County and 100 Guys Who Care About Lorain County, entered the story. Now, let me tell you a little bit about these groups, because I find them really interesting because they're super grassroots. They meet quarterly at Quaker Steak and Lube.
That's my favorite part about this. They just go out to a restaurant.
They go out to Quaker Steak and Lube. They get together. They invite a few people, groups in, two or three local nonprofits, and say, hey, you've got 5 minutes. Tell me about your group and why you need some money. The people who were at the meeting, they listen to it. They vote immediately about, who's the most needy at this particular time. And then whoever's at the meeting, they just write a check for $100 right there on the spot saying, we're going to give this money to your group. So, theoretically, if 100 women or 100 guys show up to the meeting, you're getting $10,000 right there because they're going to write you a check for $100. And so this particular meeting back in July, both the 100 women and 100 guys, they funded the Elyria Teens Achieving Success. And so they got about $13,000.
You talked a little bit about the program. What are some of the things they do? Is it sort of an after-school program for the kids to go and hang out at just to find something else to do?
Absolutely. It's after school. They help with homework. It's about some of those soft skills of kind of teaching them how to make good choices. And also, I love the fact that they take them out of Elyria often. And, they'll go visit Akron, University of Akron. They'll go visit Kent State. They'll go visit some of these other colleges to kind of say, hey, outside of Elyria, these are a lot of opportunities that you should be exposed to in your life. So, it's really kind of letting teens know that, take charge of your life and move in a better direction.
That's very cool stuff. Again, we're talking with Lisa Roberson of the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram, brought to you by 9-Round Kickbox Fitness in Avon. Claudia Dillinger is Elyria's first HR director. What do we know about her and the process to hire her? It just seems like it's interesting that she's the first ever HR director in the history of the city.
Yeah, the city of Elyria has not had an HR director before Ms. Dillinger. The city, they did HR matters. Let's not make it seem like they didn't handle any of their human resources work. They just kind of piecemealed it out to different employees in different areas. And then Mayor Holly Brenda has, for the last few years, she's been trying to working with city council to tell them, let's centralize it back and let's put it under one department so there's one place that people can go when they have a human resource need and it's not, should we go to payroll or should we go to the auditor's office or the mayor's office to kind of figure out what the employees need. She wanted them to have one person that they can go to. And so that's what Claudia has been brought in to do.
Very cool stuff. Now, I read that story and thought, boy, it's interesting that they haven't had an HR director before. But
because for a lot of companies, that's just a typical, normal position. The city of Elyria has 400-plus employees, and so you would think someone has to handle all of the HR needs for those employees, just payroll records and orientation and job descriptions and health insurance, all of the things that you go to your HR person for.
Gotcha. And before we cut you loose here, I wanted to ask you about a piece that you wrote last week about a ribbon-cutting ceremony for Pioneer Plaza. What stood out most to you with that whole ceremony and that beautiful bicentennial mural? It looked really awesome.
I love the details in those murals, by the way. The Dave Paplock, who's been the artist who's worked on those, they are absolutely beautiful. If people have not seen them on Broad Street, and there's also one on the side of the Susan L. Chocolates Factory's building, you should go see them because they're so detailed. That's what I love about them, because you can stand there and you can stare at these murals and you can see the details when in the bicentennial mural, the city seal's on there, and you can look at the details of the city seal. And then the other murals, you have local people, you have Tiana Bartoletta, who's in there from, the city of Elyria. She's a track star, an Olympic gold medalist. And you have, Judge Howard, who's in there. There's so many different faces that are on the murals and so many different details. That's what I love. And then Pioneer Plaza, that's the city space. It's now this park, and it's this great meeting area that's used to be where the old City Hall was. If anyone knows where old Sears was, and then it became City Hall, and then that building was torn down, then they absolutely know where Pioneer Plaza is right now. It's just this great green space. It's kind of just small, intimate enough where you can kind of, do a few activities and maybe some events. Right now, until probably September, they'll run the Invest Elyria Farmers Market there. So I like that. And so dedicating this space, that means, the bicentennials, we're looking at Elyria's last 200 years. So now we have kind of like these publics this public space and these public art projects that kind of like, hey, could these last for another 200 years? Who knows? But at least we have something that's kind of these pieces that are cemented in time and it's going to be here for a while.